Hi, it's good to be with you here today. I'm going to get right in it because I got a lot to share with you today. Some of you know that in recent years I've been concentrating more on some of the nitrogen and phosphorus enhanced efficiency fertilizers, but today I'm going to talk to you about potassium nutrition for some shorter season cotton varieties. And you say, well, you know, why worry about K? And I still did some of the N&P studies this year, but I added the K studies. And you say, why worry about K? And in Georgia, I can tell you at least, you know, we are going to make a major shift this year to new shorter season, I think most people would agree, higher yielding varieties compared to 555. And why that's significant, as you know, last number of years, we've been planting about 80% of our cotton acres in Georgia to 555, which is a very full season variety. We think it's a good scavenger K, and we haven't necessarily had a lot of potassium problems. But we're making that shift this year, so I'm was trying to get ahead of the curve a little. Also, K is still more expensive than nitrogen and phosphorus. Fertilizer prices, at least for us, peaked about fall 2008. I remember talking to one of the agents, and they said, well, why don't we just round everything off to a dollar? You know, dollar per pound of N and P and K, and it was almost that bad. As you know, nitrogen came down for us probably almost down around 45 cents per pound of N. Phosphorus, now not only DAP, but we have some MAP we're going to use this year, so it's down around 25 cents per pound of P2O5. At the time I did this study this year, I can tell you potassium based on muriate of potash was about 70 cents per pound of K2O. I just checked on it with the help of some county agents in the audience before Christmas, and it's down around 50 right now, so it's already a little better. And we're kind of hoping it's even better by the time we get to fertilization for cotton for the 2010 crop. But K is still fairly expensive. Spring 2009 rainfall, and we can get into a discussion about how mobile potassium is, and Charlie Mitchell's not here to defend himself, so I won't mention that whole argument, but let's just say maybe we can agree that potassium is more mobile than phosphorus and not as mobile as nitrogen. And we do believe on our sandy soils, as Steve mentioned, our deep sands in South Georgia, irrigated sands, potassium can move on us. And we had a lot of rainfall, not only in March and April last year, but throughout the whole year. And in the leaf spot, there's no doubt. We have some leaf spots, not all of the leaf spots, but we have some leaf spots we know are linked to potassium deficiency, and that's the cause of them. Again, I don't want to get into too long a discussion on that, especially Bob Kemmerite, my colleague, plant pathologist, can talk to you about spraying for the leaf spot. But if it's potassium deficiency that's causing the leaf spot, you know, my thinking is take care of the potassium deficiency, then you don't have to worry about it. So, and that's still what we think is going on out there. Just a few quick pictures to illustrate the point. This is a farmer's field in Jeff Davis County. This is in mid-September, as you can see. David, I don't know if the lights are down quite good enough to see that, but that's all right. I think you can see the streaks there. And as it turns out, this is potassium deficiency, and it looks like the first impression would be a spreader problem, but we actually think that was where the windrows of peanut hay that were taken off and less potassium input from the old peanut hay vines, and we had some potassium deficiency there. This is from our research plot. I'm going to show you some data in a second where this the data came from, a plot like this. Some of you may know I do all my research plots, or most of them, 4 rows wide by 40 foot long. And this is 0935 with a low soil test K with no potash on it. And all around it, you can see plots that had decent potash rates, some more decent than others. You can see over on this side, this cotton looks pretty good compared to this. But that's what you'd get. Some of those plots made zero. They actually ended up averaged with the 4 reps, 300 pound, believe it or not. That's hard to believe, but that's what it looked like. And then there's the leaf spot. This is fairly early on, but that's potassium deficiency with leaf spot. Alternaria, Cercospora, and Stemphylium are the ones we know that are linked to potassium deficiency. Again, there are some that we think are not. But it's, I can tell you, I don't remember exactly which one, but it's one of those on these leaves. And these spots would get so bad that the whole leaf will be covered up with leaf spot. They'll turn brown, die, fall off, and defoliate itself. I have not done a lot of potassium trials in the past. I had one little trial in 1998. And to build on this, we had, this was on a good Tifton soil, decent yields for 98. And had 90 pound, the recommended rate, applied at planting, 90 plus foliar. And then at the time, we were thinking maybe split applications made sense, like we do with nitrogen. So I had a 45-45 split, and then I had the split plus foliar. And you can actually see that the best treatment was the recommended rate at planting plus foliar, and that's kind of where I stood. Based on this, I was not a big fan of splitting K like we do with N. And we might want to rethink this a little more now after you see the data from this year, but that's where we were after that. So what I'm going to show you is, and I call these K-rate studies, but it's actually a little more than that. It's really three separate studies in one, but it's at the same location, Sunbelt Expo in Moultrie, Georgia, center pivot irrigated, it's a Dothan loamy sand, and I have 0935, 0949, 555, all DPL varieties. 555, again, is a full. 0949, officially, I just talked to the folks in the booth earlier today, it's a mid-full, and then 0935 would be a mid. So you notice in my title, I didn't say short season, I said shorter season, because none of these are actually officially short season varieties, but they are shorter than 555. And, you know, we do know that the potassium can be an issue when short season varieties, so that's why I wanted to set it up this way. My potassium rates, 0, 45, 90, 135, 180 pounds of K2O as muriate of potash. I also had this 45-45 split, that's half at planting, half at side dress, and then a 90-45 split. And I also had a 90 plus a foliar potassium, and I can give you the details more about that as we go. Again, do all my plots four rows wide by 40 foot long, randomized complete block, fertilizer hand applied, machine picked, microgen. I got some quality data, hopefully we'll have time to show you, and also did soil samples after harvest to see how much potassium was left over. I want to make it very clear that this is really like three studies in one. I did not randomize the varieties in, and as it turned out, left to right in this field, the 0935 and the 0949 were right next to each other. Soil test was a 46, so it was low, and the recommendation was 135. The 555, by the time you got over to the right-hand side of the field, it was actually on the soil test that was a little higher, 106, which is a medium, and recommended is 90, and that makes a big difference, and you'll see it in the data. Looking back at it, I really wish I had put the 555 on the low soil test K to see what it would have done, but you can't go back. But just keep that in mind. All right, I'm going to start out with the most important data, what I think, first, and kind of the worst case scenario. This is the shortest season of the three varieties, 0935, and the way this is set up is there's your, first I'm just going to show you the rates. There's the five potassium rates on the x-axis, pounds of lint, so yield on the right. The top bar is the yield, and then the bars, the numbers inside the bar are actually how much more lint you made compared to the bar to the left of you. And you can see I had a classic response, and I do need to run the regression curves on this, but I think the bars work for these purposes. But basically, that plot I showed you of that 0935 that defoliated very little cotton on it would make 334 pounds of lint. Going to 45 pounds of K2O, you went up to 776. You gained another 300 pounds, and you can see the data up there. Didn't gain a lot going from 135 to 180. And you remember the recommended rate from UGA was 135, so I think we're looking pretty good right there as far as our recommendation. We did put those samples through the microgen, so we have turnout. We didn't have to just use an average, and I thought this was interesting. At the two lowest rates, again, at the recommended rate, we had a 41% turnout, didn't gain anything by going up. Actually, the 90 was okay at 40, but look how you drop off, even statistically, down to 38% turnout, and then on those zero plots, only 33% turnout. So low potash also affected the turnout of the cotton, limb percentage. Split applications, Again, this is all still on 0935. Here's your 90 at planting, here's your split. And we actually gained 100 pound of lint. How much it cost, you know, it's the same amount of material, how much it cost to do the split application. Doesn't cost much to blend murate in with urea. Liquid's a little more challenging. We do use a lot of liquid in, and we don't have a good liquid case source. But that's what you would get from a split. And then at the higher rate, doing the 90-45 split, we did not gain much at all. Now here's foliar, and I could do a whole talk on foliar. And I believe in foliar in the right situation. I don't think we need to do it across the board, but I think it does have a place, and I think foliar potash on cotton works, at least for us. And here, remember, the recommended rate was 135 pound. Here, this is the 90 pound, so it's less than the recommended plus foliar. And I can tell you, I did two applications, 10 pounds of K2O as potassium nitrate, around first week of bloom, and then 2 weeks later. Not a whole lot of investment and cost, I don't think, in there to gain 250 pound of lint. Now, I don't think you'd see that to 135, and certainly wouldn't see that kind of response at the 180, but it's something to think about what foliar can do. And if you put them all together and put the stats on them, that's what they look like there, and we won't spend a lot of time, but you know, again, the 135 is not statistically different than the 180 or the 90-45 split. There's your 90 plus foliar. There's your 90 by itself, and then you drop out and down to the point where down here you're not going to be real happy. That's 0935. 0949, a little more full maturity. It's a mid-full, similar story. So we won't spend a lot of time on it. Similar. I got accused of making this data up, by the way, already this year. Somebody said I just made these numbers up. These are the real numbers. Two things about this data. You did have a little more jump between these last two rates, and you also had a little higher yield, if you notice. So this one out yielded 0935. And again, whether that, you know, if you figure potash was 70 cents per pound of K2O, and roughly cotton being 70 cents per pound, you know, there's for 45 pounds of K2O, you made 149 more pounds of lint, going from 135 to 180. That was not statistically different, though, I can tell you. You'll see that in a second. There's your splits, and here, for whatever reason, we did gain a little on the 90 split, but we went down. I just think that's probably equal. There's no reason to think it would. Well, I don't know. Maybe a split did decrease yield there. The timing was off, and it was loading up early, and it didn't have it for, you know, it was too late. I don't know. Something to think about there. And then there's your foliar. Remember, the other one was 250 pounds more from foliar. Again, this is at the 90-pound rate, so you gained 135 pounds of lint. And put them all together, and you have this again with actually, in this case, the 180. So maybe we do need to rethink the recommendations a little bit, but the 180, well, statistically and technically, they're both A's, 135 and 180. But you can see the data there, very similar to the 0935. All right, 555, this is the only slide I'm going to have to show you. It made a big difference. Both that variety, I believe, and going to that soil, medium testing soil, we did not see any response to any applied fertilizer. Our recommendation in this case was 90, and you say, okay, you wasted your money. No, I don't think that's true either. As you know, the way our soil test recommendations work, we say you have a 50% chance of seeing a yield response to the applied fertilizer at a medium rate. So we were on that side of the 50. It went to maintenance, and I'll show you how much it built up the soil test potassium. So you have that added benefit, and you really can't afford to take a 50% chance. I tell growers in Georgia, you know, if they're feeling that lucky, they need to go to Vegas. So, but that's what I'm going to show you on the 555. There's no response to the added potash. Normally we just show you data, but I wanted to quickly show you what these plots look like in the field. This is right before bloom on 0935 in the 0K plot, the early symptoms of potassium deficiency. There are other things that can cause this kind of look, but I can guarantee you this is the early symptoms of potassium deficiency, and that's what it looks like there. That's, of course, what a normal leaf from one of the high K plots would look like at that time. All right, now, you go from July 10th, right before bloom, to just a little less than a month later, that's the same plot. That's that picture I showed you before. You're already pretty severe potassium deficiency and got leaf spot. Again, that's on the 0K on a low soil test K with 0935. That's what it looks like in the field. You can see those four rows stand out pretty good. Go another month, you can still pick that plot out pretty darn good right there. And you see some of the other ones starting to show up. Would have been neat to have a true time-lapse photography on that like they show you, where they just continuously need to speed it forward. Anyway, September 2nd, you can see it's defoliated. You wonder if those bowls are going to open at all. A week later, you see them start opening, so you figure, well, I might get something. And these were machine picked. That's why we don't hand pick. And then that's at harvest time. Obviously, our grower's not going to be happy with that, and we probably got spots in the field that look like that. Hopefully, we don't have big spots in the field that look like that. And that's at harvest. All right. I'm going to finish with some soil tests and quality data real quick. Again, I explained our system, the low, medium, high, and the response. But this is what the soil test K, and I did not test every plot before, you know, at the beginning of the year and then come back later. But I did take from every plot at harvest. And so I don't know exactly where we started in each plot, but on average, in the zero plot, we had a 33 at the end of the year. You can see, again, it looks like you made this data up, but it makes sense the more potash we put on. The interesting thing is, remember, our recommendation was 135 pounds K2O. We made good yields, as good as, just about as the 180. And basically, we went from a 33 to a 74. We actually went from the low category just into the medium category by doing that and still made decent yields. So that's encouraging. The other thing you can do with this data is I've always heard different numbers thrown around about how many pounds of fertilizer K it takes to raise a soil test unit. And it differs a little, but it's somewhere around 3 to 4 pounds. It takes about, based on this data, about 3 or 4 pounds of K2O fertilizer to raise your soil test K1 unit. Again, that's with still making decent cotton on those plots too. So that's the 0935, 0945, or 49, a very similar story. And then there you can see where the 555 again was in a better spot, but we still came up. Again, the recommendation there was 90, so we went from 104 to 168. Now, how much of that's going to be left in May when we plant again after the winter rains? I don't know. It'd be interesting to go back and do these plots again in May. I'm not sure I can. I think they dissed them up. All right, I'll finish with quality real quickly because I was a little disappointed I didn't see more results here. We'd spent a lot of effort to get these plots through to Microgen. And, I'd heard a lot about potassium affecting strength and length, et cetera. 0935 had the most differences, but you take something like staple, no differences, no effect on staple. Mike, the lower two rates, again, the recommended rate was 4.3, and you dropped off at the lower two rates. Strength, basically no difference. Length, no difference. The uniformity there was, and uniformity has been a problem for us in Georgia, and you can see again, our recommended rate, remember, was 135. This pointer doesn't seem to want to call up all the time, but you can see at 135, we're just about 82, and you drop off to 81.3 and all the way down to 80. I don't normally put my bars, I usually make them all go to zero, but such small differences in quality can make big differences, so I put them on like a scale like that. And you see the statistics there. So it affected uniformity. The splits, we actually, for some reason, very slight, but had an advantage to the 90-45 split, so we might want to look at split applications again. Mike, again, on 0949, the lower two rates dropped off. And in general, just to sum it up across the board, this is average across all treatments. If you want to look at staple and look at 0949, it looked like across the board the best quality because a little better staple, strength is better, length is better, and uniformity is better across the board. So you got to remember, these were, besides the potash rates and the 555 being on a little better higher soil test K, these were grown in the exact same environment in the same field under the same conditions. So in conclusion, I don't know how much time I got left.
About 8-9 minutes.
Good, good. I left time for questions. You can make a lot of different conclusions. I threw these together. The most obvious ones, I think, is that, well, I think the UGA cotton recommendations are pretty much on target, although we want to do some more testing to make sure that's right, especially under those higher yielding conditions. And that's what the county agents and everybody always wants to know. Are you going to change your recommendations? Based on this, I would say no. There's no doubt that low fertilizer K rates on low testing soils with these new varieties can dramatically reduce yield, turnout, and grade. And those pictures, I think, pretty much tell the story. I really still believe foliar K can increase yields if you're not putting out the recommended rate of potash. It's a good supplement to your soil-based program. And I think we need to evaluate the split applications with these new varieties and maybe sand your soils. Again, the initial data I did in 98 was on a Tifton soil, with a more full season variety. So I think we'll continue to look at the split applications. I did have a study on a deep sand, a true deep sand, irrigated deep sand at the Stripling Irrigation Park, Camilla, Georgia. And I think that's going to help tell us a lot. We'll work that data up too. So with that, I need to thank Georgia Cotton Commission, Richie Seaton, Sunbelt Expo, Mike Williams and his crew, EJ Micro Jim, Andy Knowlton, and Benji Baldry's my technician, and thank them for their help. And maybe we have time for questions.
Well, we got plenty of time for questions for Glenn. Looks like we have some questions.
All right, yeah. Yeah, the question is, did I notice the difference in the onset of the potassium deficiency in the different varieties? 0935 showed up first and a little more severe than 0949, but they were fairly similar. And basically the 555, I didn't mention it, but it never really looked potassium deficiency even on the zero plots. It had a little bit of leaf spot, but not a lot. I did a defoliation rating on 0935 and 0949 at one point, didn't even do it in 555 and didn't defoliate. So 0935 and 0949 were very similar, maybe a little earlier on the 0935. Yep. That I did what? The onset? That, remember that slide I showed you that very first? That was it was actually, I looked at my notes this morning, it was a week before bloom. And I told you I fertilized by hand. I actually did that after we planted and applied muriate potash to the surface, didn't incorporate it. And a lot of people would say, that can't work, you gotta incorporate it. Well, I think the data's pretty clear that potash got in the soil and got into those plants. Our sandy ground with some irrigation and rainfall, I don't recommend that. I recommend pre-plant applications of potash, but I don't get too worried about whether you incorporate it on our soils or not, as long as it doesn't wash away. Great question, and I do. I wish I had more tissue data, but what I focused on, I was able to get it out there around fourth week of bloom, which you know is a critical period. You know, and Dr. Kissel and I are going to work on this, and it takes a lot of time and money and sampling. I like to see tissue run prior to bloom, because that's when our sufficiency ranges are, and it's like 2.5%. After that, I like to see you based on petiole. And I actually took tissue and petiole at fourth week of bloom. To do it right, you would take tissue and petiole like every week of bloom once it starts blooming to get that down. But I really, truly believe in working with some of the agents out here on doing some sampling. I think the petiole is a better indicator once you start blooming of potassium deficiency. And I can tell you, once you get to 0.3% potassium in a petiole, that's when you defoliate. Yep. Yeah. Either one.
I noticed the earliest time that you got up here was 9:35.
Correct.
Like the Sugar Grove 135 or 235 acre was, some of those that were
125 we used to grow.
125, we basically had a total of
4 weeks bloom.
Fruiting. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
It fruited so fast.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a lot of potassium deficiency showing up even when we were in a high potassium situation, because at that period, now this is in the mid-south, but we exceeded the soil's ability to supply, even though the levels were high.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw potassium deficiency showing up, especially when you had really good bowl levels.
I'll speculate on that. And two things I'd like to do next year is put a true early season variety in and also replicate it within, so it's not blocked like I had it this year. But you know, I thought a lot about what you're talking about, and I really believe that's where foliar becomes in, because that's the argument that you know, it fruits so fast in that forward that the plant can't keep up even with good. And in my opinion, what you need to do then is load the plant up early, so put all your recommended potash at planting, and then foliar feeding it, maybe instead of just two foliar feeders, maybe need three. I don't know. I also need to do some foliar work, because potassium nitrate is harder to get, a little more expensive. There's a lot of other things out there. I know Derek Oosterhaus did some data from a long time ago. I'd like to replicate that and look at all of our potassium sources, and I'm probably going to get into foliar K work based on this. But I would say that, yeah, those short season varieties are the most susceptible. I'd put all the recommended at planting, and I would seriously consider doing some foliar K during those 4 weeks of bloom. I don't know. Good question. And this would have answered that, because we would have had the higher rate all at planting. Good question. I might in the very short season. That's correct. Good point. Yeah.
I've listened to several presentations from Georgia and heard bigger 80%+ of cotton acres planted in triple nickel. Do you feel like triple nickel has caused the growers in Georgia to become complacent in potassium fertility? And do you think that the potassium status of the Georgia soil has gone down to a point where it's going to be very cost prohibitive for these farmers at 70 cents a unit to supply enough potassium for these newer short season varieties?
I'm going to try to answer that without getting any trouble. I think I would have to say the 555 has made us, I don't know if it's complacent or lucky, in that we think 555 being full, good root system, was a good scavenger K. We've lucked out. I like to think of it as been lucky, and we've gotten away with doing some things that we're not going to get, I don't think we're going to get away with these new shorter season varieties. What was the other part of the question again? No, and that's a great question. In back of my mind, I was putting this presentation together and doing some trainings coming up with the agents. I'm thinking about that. I mean, you know, can I really say out there and say, you need to put the recommended potash? I don't know how I cannot say that, regardless of price, and even based on that data. I think we got to do it. Now, lucky you said 70. Again, already it's down to 50. So we're already, you know, it all depends on how you look at it at this point. But I just think we got to bite the bullet. And you know, what it makes you think about, too, is you only got so much money for fertilizer. Put it where we think we need it the most. I'm here talking about potassium today for a reason. And that's the reason. I want you to put your recommended potash pretty much regardless of the price, and hopefully it'll be 50 or below.
Well, I like your philosophy on foliar potash nutrition, because I've done a lot of studies over the years, in-house studies through the laboratory, that you're looking at about 3.5% decay in the fifth week of bloom. Looking at Oosterhaus's work at the University of Arkansas, he utilized several sources of nitrogen, K power,
right,
potassium nitrate, other things. I've also seen good results from just straight muriate of potash diluted into a 0-16 solution and then diluted again on site to a 0-8 solution.
Yep.
Looking at pre-foliar applications in first week of bloom.
Yep.
I'd like to see more research done on compatibility with insecticides.
Mm-hmm.
Some entomologists feel like that you get more efficacy utilizing potassium, and then you have a different philosophy out there that says don't mix the two.
Well, the good news is that my picker driver you saw is also my good friend and colleague, my entomologist. So I think we'll be able to handle that one. The foliar source is wide open right now. If you remember, a lot Oosterhaus's work too, he did certain materials that were buffered or not pH wise, and that's where you beat the pH wise is where you get into the insecticide thing. So it's job security for me. I think I'm looking forward to working on it in these next years. We out of time?
We got one quick question, I guess.
One more quick one. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch it.
What's the difference in maturity in terms of the number
days?
Of days?
Oh, geez.
I guess I should know that. I don't even know what the actual, I know them by mids and mid-fulls and fulls, but the maturity's on those, actually, I mean, 555 is definitely the longest. I forget exactly how many days we say that takes to mature. Where's my county agents or my other guys would know that off the top of their head. I'll refer you to the DPL booth in the technical thing, but the point is too is that we did not have a true early in there, so there were full, mid full, and mid.
Basically, I think DPL says that every 10, so
their new system with the 09, 35, and 45 is based on that. And 49, that's that, yeah, but it's a new system that I haven't got down yet. Yeah, yeah. It really doesn't matter because we still got cotton in the field. So, yeah. In fact, I have looked at KTS in the past and will again. And we have a material 5020. It works. A little more burn potential. So I think you got to watch your water rates and back it off and all that. So we'll be looking at KTS as one of our sources. Yeah.
Well, Glenn, thank you.
Thank you.
Glenn will be around during the break after the last few.